right. So Joe was just pointing out that I forgot to put a number on a verse, so I'm trying to find that right now. But anyways, as I try to find this, where I'm at, can't put it there. Oh man. You know, that's just one of those things that just kind of happen sometimes, right? It's just one of these weird things that just kind of happen. But anyways, woke us up. Woke us up. Yeah, I don't know. We're going to make the best of this. We're going to do the best we can. I can't find where I was at with that, so. It's somewhere in 2 Corinthians, anyways. And it's in verse 23, but I just don't know which section. But anyways, we'll get to that. All right. So, dear Jesus, we just pray over this message. We pray that it goes the way that you want. I don't want any influence on this. And I pray that everybody gets the message the way it's meant to be. What you want each individual to get out of this. So I just lift it up to you. This is one of those messages that's kind of... we're going to be getting multiple messages, I think, of this topic. And it's kind of tricky because everybody's going through their stuff, right? We're all going through stuff. We all got our battles. And this message is gonna challenge our thinking. It's going to challenge our thinking on these things that we face. And I don't want you to think this is a fluff message, because the Lord, this is not a fluff message. This is a challenging, challenging message that's coming. Okay? And I don't want you to think it's a fluff message, and I don't want you to think it's impossible either, because it is possible. It is possible. We've been talking a lot about different battles that we're facing, right? We got a lot of battles that we're facing. And oftentimes it is. We just prayed about a battle. Battle of MS. And that's a tough battle. That's a tough battle, right? Marie going through her stuff. Tough battle. Having a son that's hurting. That's a tough battle. Amy in the school system. That's a tough battle. Those are tough battles. And we're facing them every day. And every single one of us have those battles. Have those battles. It's a battle for our soul. A battle for our mind. It's a battle for our hearts. It's a battle for our family. It's a battle for our friends. And it's a battle for our community. Right? We just talked about an addiction battle. Things going on that way, right? These are not fun battles. And as I was praying about this message and trying to hear clearly what the Lord wanted me to bring forth, I clearly got the impression that it was time for a change. Or as what Malcolm said a couple weeks ago, a shift. A shift, right? Now I did this message, I wrote this message mostly a couple weeks ago. Actually, it's been probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, because I'm going to talk about when we went to the Lancaster Fair. But, and Malcolm was talking about a shift, and I feel like there has to be a mind shift. That's what the Lord has been telling me. And this is a message that he's been working on me, myself, for a long time. And he said it's time to bring it to the other people. And it was clear. A change in how we battle. John, a while back, talked about the tools of Babylon and not using the same tools that the world uses, right? We got to use different tools than the world uses. We need to use godly tools, right? Because when we battle with the same tools that they have, we're no better. We're no better. And Steve said in his last message, when we're talking about repentance, we need to change how we think, right? So all these things are kind of lining up. that we need to reprogram our emotions and our mind. Reprogram. Right? This is tough stuff. Nobody likes to reprogram stuff, do they? I don't. And that fit right into this message. Do you want to win the battles you're facing? Because if you're not committed to winning the battle you face, then this is useless. You've got to be committed to winning the battle. Right? You want things gone? You've got to commit to that. There's a role in you. There's a role in you. There's a role in me. We got to be committed. Battles over strongholds, sin, regrets, unforgiveness, pain, loss, disappointment, sadness, frustrations. And I want to win those battles. I want to win those battles. And God is saying it's time to change how we look and function through this life. This is a challenge we all struggle with. We all struggle with this. We can get caught up in all the negativities of the world and life circumstances way too easily. We get sucked in fast, don't we? We get sucked in fast. It's easy to see it, and we hear it constantly. The news is 99% negative. Conversations with friends, co-workers, relatives oftentimes can get caught up in discussing negative events and loss. Right? What do you do when we get together with people?
Have a good time.
Hopefully we're having a good time, but a lot of times it turns, right? If we're being honest, it turns, right? One person says one negative thing, what happens? We all join in. We all join in. And we're not going to change most of these negative events that happen in the world. It's coming at us. We have to be sympathetic and understanding, right, to it all. But in this battle, it can wear us down. It can wear us down. God is saying, don't be worn down. I hear a lot of wearing down. I see a lot of wearing down. And he's saying, don't go there. Don't be worn down. Don't be worn down. He's going to help us to overcome these battles, to bring him glory and bring joy to our lives. He's going to be there for you. We heard it this morning. Somebody said it this morning. Right? My natural mindset is to get pulled right into the negative mindset. That's my natural mindset. I can get pulled into this negative thought very easily. And I have to be aware of that. If I'm going to battle this, I have to be aware that I get drawn into this stuff. Because if I'm not aware of that, then how am I supposed to battle that? And even as I was working on this message, I went to a celebration of life, and I was with some relatives, and we were sitting at a table, and one of my relatives who comes from Florida was up, and so she asked, how's things in Berlin? How is things in Berlin? What a setup. What a setup. Honestly. So one person starts, right? Oh, the roads are terrible. If you go to Dead River, it's like crack kingdom. And what did I do? I joined in. Here I am, The Lord gave me this message to bring. I go into this situation, and there I am getting sucked in to the negative karmics, and I'm right there with them. All the stores are closing down, the restaurants are closing down, and the dairy bar is gone, it's been here forever. What is going on? We heard it today, cold house, you know, like, and it's easy to get caught up into it, right? And the Lord said to me when I got home, right off the bat, He convicted me. He said, "What are you doing? What are you doing? You had an opportunity to change the mindset of what this place is." Right? I had the opportunity to say how beautiful the mountains are. I had the opportunity to say, I have a beautiful church and the people there support each other. I had the opportunity to say, I work in a great facility. And I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I dropped the ball. And I'm not happy about it. Not one positive statement came out of my mouth. Not one. So then, when I watched it get convicted, I prayed that in the future I would see the trap of the enemy. And that's what that is. It's a trap. The enemy knows how to use this. He does. And he does it well. He does it well. You don't even recognize it, right? So he wants me to avoid it. And if I step into the trap, I need to escape that fast. Right? I need out. This message is called Winning Daily Battles by Being Thankful to God. Amen. Winning daily battles by being thankful to God. We need to battle with thanks. That's a different mindset. That's a shift in mindset, isn't it? And we're not talking about being thankful when things are going perfect, which we should be thankful for sure. But also when things aren't going perfect. And that's what we're going to see. As I look around this room, I know you have a lot of battles. I see every person's battle. I've heard all your battles. A lot of them. I don't know them all. I don't know them all. But I know your battles. And they aren't easy. They aren't easy. But in the midst of those battles, there are many reasons to be thankful to God. And we can't lose sight of that. We can't. I started working on this message when me and Carla had gone to the Lancaster Fair. And God really put people in my path, and my eyes were super sensitive that day. You remember that day, those days where God is just like working on you, and you actually recognize He's working on you? And He's trying to show you things that you normally wouldn't notice. I can walk through this life pretty oblivious a lot of times, and just kind of cruise on through. Not really being aware of some things that are going on around me. Well, that day was not that day. I was super sensitive. And God was making me notice many things with people. I saw two people that were missing their eye, one eye. It was closed shut. One of those people were sitting on a cow and trying to encourage a kid to come sit on a cow. She was loving life. She was not hampered by the loss of an eye.
It was her cow.
It was her cow, of course, yes.
Yeah.
I saw somebody miss it with a missed arm. Saw a few people with missed legs. I saw one lady who was definitely strung out on drugs. I saw a fundraiser for an 18-year-old that needed a kidney. And while I was walking around noticing all this stuff, I was thinking, why are you complaining, Reggie, with certain things? You have your problems, but they're nothing like this. Right? And that was just one instance. That was a 3-hour span. And not one of those people did I see walking around, moping around, saying, oh, I don't have a leg. Oh, I don't have an eye. Oh, I don't have an arm. And you know it was affecting them. But they weren't in that state. And God is saying, that's because they're thankful for what they have. They're missing a leg, but they got a leg. And they got two arms. And they got two eyes. They're missing an eye, but they got two legs and two arms. Right? That's what he was showing me. So this week, I had a patient who lost her husband recently. And the night that her husband found out he had ALS, he had been sick for a while, and then he found out that he had ALS from a doctor, he got a diagnosis of ALS, he passed away that night. The next morning, she found him dead in his chair that he always sits in. And while I was talking to her, she said, the only thing that has kept me going is being thankful to God for taking him before he suffered too much. And I just kept thanking God for good things in my life right now. And I said, you just said my message. Goosebumps, right? You just said my message. And she said, if you want to share that in your message, then go ahead. So how has she been handling this tragedy? How has she been battling this? She's been battling it by being thankful to God. Powerful. Powerful. I'm sure you can all relate to what I'm bringing forth. This is a common battle. This is not foreign to us. Some people are much better at having that thankful attitude. You ever meet them? They're out there. They're out there. They have a thankful. No matter what they're facing, they're being thankful. It's amazing to see. And others, not so much. But we all have room to improve in this mindset, even if you're that type of person. And I'm not just talking about being positive, right? I'm talking about showing gratitude. There's a difference. This is not a build your mindset up and be positive. This is build your mindset up and be thankful. Can you see a difference there? There is a difference. It's about being positive, but also being positive because you know who to be positive to and where it comes from. Right? I'm amazed at people who go through these difficult circumstances and who find the good in the midst of devastation. I want that, and I pray that for all of you, for every single one of you. But I want it, and I yearn for it. And you should be yearning for that as well. We are not here on this earth created by God just to survive. We're meant to thrive. We're not meant to just get to the finish line. That's not the role He put us here for. We're meant to be so much more. So much more. He wants us to have to show the world a different attitude. If He wanted us to survive this life, until the end, He never would have given us this book for guidance and instruction. Right? He doesn't want us just to survive. He wants us to thrive. He would never reveal who He was, His Son, His Spirit, the plan, and our salvation. He wouldn't have revealed that. What would be the point of all that stuff if He didn't want us to thrive? Right? He would just let us. He would have plopped this down here. We would have got to the end of our life and just survived our life to the end. Jason, you got to, who has a mic? I have a mic.
You got one. Definitely failure on all this, but when you say thrive, I think we need to flesh out what is going through people's minds when you say thrive. Yeah. It's not the accumulation of goods.
No.
To thrive is the accumulation of helping other people, of assisting, of helping your neighbor. That's what gives you that great feeling. You can thrive and be, well, the apostles,
yeah,
the poor.
Right.
And in prison.
Absolutely.
So I just, yeah, think, because
great clarification.
Chased the wrong goal.
Correct. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Great point. So there's a lot of definitions of what we mean by thriving, right? And Jason brings up a great point. That thriving doesn't mean accumulation of stuff. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about just your life, and you're going to see this, not just your life going the way you want it. We're talking about thriving in the midst of stuff, meaning like you're overcoming. You're not losing sight of what God has for you. You're keeping your eye on what God wants you to do. And when you do stuff that God wants you to do, guess what? You're joyful. You're joyful. Even if it's hard work. Even if it's hard work. Even if it's, okay, during times when you're tired. Even when it's times that you don't want to do anything. You know what happens when you step out and do that stuff? You get joy. You get joy. I don't know how many times I've gone, I've been so tired, and I don't want to go somewhere, and I do something for somebody else, and boom, I'm back. That's thriving. Yeah, good point, Jason. Thank you. So let's be thankful to God for this book that gives us hope and purpose. I personally, until I was typing this message, have never thanked God for providing that book. Has anybody here thanked God for providing the Bible? See, I'm a slacker. Because there are people that have done that. I have not. I never thought of it. I never thought, hey God, thank you for providing this book, because this book is what's going to carry me through tough times. It's going to teach me to think differently. Right? This is huge. So if you haven't thanked God for the Bible, like me, then do so. Do so. The people at therapy that I work with that recover and overcome great odds are the people with positive and thankful attitudes. They're the ones that come in and say, Reggie, thank you so much. This hurts when you do this, but thank you. This hurts when you tell me to do these exercises at home when I don't have time, but I recognize that this helps me. Thank you. Those are the people that do the best. And sometimes those are the people with the biggest odds. The biggest odds. And then I have people that come through and they're just going through the motions with negative focus on all the problems that they have in their life and the ones that struggle the most and sometimes never improve. They struggle the most and sometimes they don't improve because they're so focused on negative things that they can't get out of their own way. And part of my job is to change that focus. Is to change that focus. Don't focus every time that this thing hurts you. Focus on how much more you're doing before it hurts you. Right? Focus on what's getting better. Don't focus on what's not changing. That's a hard thing to do. That's a hard thing to do. Because I got people who I've been working with for 5 years who have spinal cord injuries, and they improve, yeah, little. I mean, sometimes bending a finger they couldn't do, and now they can. And if they get caught up that they can't walk, instead of focusing that they can move their finger now, they're never going to get to where we need to get them, or where they want to be. It's a long process sometimes. But the ones that work really hard and keep that thankful attitude, sometimes I remind them, and they say, thank you for reminding me, because I forgot 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I couldn't do this. And now I can. Not looking at what they still can't do, but what they couldn't do before and can do now. There are people in the Bible that really stick out to me as people who were going through trial after trial in their life, had struggles that we don't even understand. You ever been flogged? No, not a single person here has been flogged. You know what flogging is? You want to talk about pain? Right? And they suffered. And you know how they battled? The ones that were successful to change the world, thriving, they were being thankful to God. Through their suffering. This is amazing to me. And really unnatural from a flesh standpoint. Our flesh could not understand this stuff. How can somebody be in such dire positions and still be thanking God? How can that happen? They were not afraid to express their concerns, though. They expressed their concerns to God, right? They expressed their concerns. They expressed their disappointments to God, but always found some way or something to thank the Lord for, right? So nobody's saying, don't reach out to people, don't talk to people with your problems. Do talk to people with your problems. Reach out. But in the midst of all that, you be thankful for what you got. Not what you don't have. Today we're going to we're going to focus on such a person, and that's Paul today. And I think what we're going to do is in the future, from what the Lord's leading me towards, we're going to go through a few different people over time. That we're going to go through and kind of, I think the Lord wants to pound this into our heads. We're thick. I'm thick. Maybe you're not, but I am. And the Lord said, listen, you need repetition. You need to hear some messages more than others. And this is what the Lord has been telling me. This is a message we need to learn. We need to learn. And we need to learn it, not for just our benefit, but to bring glory to God. So that the world can see a different attitude. They can see a different way of battling. Right, John? We're not using the weapons of Babylon. We're using different weapons. We're using weapons of God. And that weapon is being faithful. As we go through the New Testament, we see that that Paul was persecuted in many different ways. And so we're going to go to 2 Corinthians, and this is where I forgot to write down. Which one is it? 2 Corinthians what? Chapter 11. Thank you. That's the part I forgot. Chapter 11, verse 23. So in verse 23, I'm going to write that down right now. Chapter 11. Thank you. And that's why we need people helping us, right? 2 Corinthians 11. In verse 23, Paul records some of the trials he faced, right? This is a recording of some of the trials he faced. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped more times without number, and faced death again and again. Not good times. Not good times. None of us even can come close to feeling that. Can we? No. No. We're blessed. We are so blessed. Five different times, the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Three times, I was beaten with rods. Once, I was stoned. You know what happens when people are stoned most of the time? They die. Three times, I was shipwrecked. Once, I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. And if anybody ever wants to do something interesting, look at Paul's journeys. You can go online and you can look. And they'll trace out his journeys. That guy walked. And he walked. And he walked. It was crazy. You want to do something cool, check that out. I have faced dangers from rivers, from robbers. I have faced dangers from my own people, the Jews, as well as from Gentiles. So this guy was under attack. I have faced dangers in cities, the deserts, and on the seas. I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers, but are not. Are there people who claim to be believers that are not? There are. There are. And they say the right words, but they are not believers. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. Was he tired? A little bit tired if he's having all these sleepless nights, right? I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I go one meal without food and I'm already uptight. True story. Carl will vouch for it. I get angry. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. This is not good times, folks. This is not good times. And through that, he faced all these events. And we can see in his writings an attitude of being positive through all this, showing gratitude to God. I saw a headline just recently when I was doing some research on this, and it said the title of his life was A Life of Suffering and Gratitude. A life of suffering and gratitude. Each one thing, right? And the way I see it is that he showed gratitude to God. Paul showed gratitude to God, right? Showed gratitude. And in turn, God did not remove all of Paul's difficulties, obviously, right? Obviously, he didn't say, hey, Paul, you're so faithful to me, I'm going to take you out of all these bad situations. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. You can ask why all you want. He's a sovereign God. He's going to do what he wants, and he knows that he can build the kingdom out of suffering. Right? So he can do what he wants. Everybody wants to ask, why God? Why would you let that happen to somebody who's so faithful? Right? Why Kelly, who is one of the most faithful people I know, has a hard time walking right now today because of that? You know, it's like why? We can ask that all we want, but maybe there's a reason for that we don't understand. And it doesn't mean that we have to have an answer every time. We want an answer, doesn't mean we have to have an answer. It doesn't make sense. A lot of this stuff doesn't make sense to me. I gotta trust that God has the ultimate understanding of why we're going through this stuff. So he didn't take him out of those. But he blessed Paul with grace and gave him strength and peace to endure such suffering while still living a life of purpose and accomplishment with joy in his heart. He was thriving. He was thriving in the midst of all this craziness. Right? It's crazy. Do you want that power? Do you want to be able to thrive in no matter what circumstance you face? I'm not convinced. Do you want to just wallow? Wallow in what you're facing? Or do you want to rise up? Can you say it? I want to rise up. I want to be stronger. I want to be better. And so we're going to share some scriptures right now, demonstrating Paul's attitude towards these tough times. So you just heard how tough his life was, right? But if we read in Acts 16:21, it says, they are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas. So Paul and Silas is out there. They're doing their thing, and here comes this mob, right? And they're attacking them. They say, "Listen, you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing." And here's Paul and Silas, right? And they were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. Sounds like a great time. Not so much, right? The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So there was a security guard there. Make sure that these two troublemakers don't go anywhere. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. And around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. The other prisoners were listening. And if you read on, there's more to this story. I'm not going to get into that because we could go into a whole other message, which we might do sometime. But he saved the life of the guy who was going to kill himself. Okay? But the reason that this all happens, is because God wanted to utilize Paul and Silas in the bad circumstances, being put in jail, to witness to other people. And if they were in jail, and of course this is a different time period, so some people were put in jail not because they did something wrong. Okay? But a lot of them were still put in jail because they did stuff wrong. It was supposed to be a witness to people who were not that great of people. Right? Are we witnessing just to the people we like? That we care about? Or are we witnessing to everybody, including the ones that might not be so good? That's another question. That's how the Lord works in my mind. That's what He says to me. Reggie, are you doing this just to the people you love? Or are you doing this to people maybe you don't even like? Are you doing it to people you can't even be near because they don't smell good? Maybe they don't look good. Where are you, Reggie, in all this? Those are tough questions. And am I perfect with it? Absolutely not. Not even close. But it's a challenge that God does to change us. Right? So when you get questioned by God, listen to it. Don't back down from the challenge. Stick with it. Philippians 4:4. Always be joyful in the Lord. It says again, rejoice. Right? This is Paul. Fuck it. Let everyone see you. See that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. No matter what we face in this world, you can always be thankful that either the Lord is coming back or we're going to be with the Lord. Right? No matter what happens to us here on this earth, you've got to always at least fix your mind on that to be thankful for. It's huge. He's coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He has done. Right? So, Lord, I need this, but thank You for what already happened here. All the good things that I have right now. And you know what happens when you do that? It says right here in 7. Then you will experience God's peace. Then you will experience God's peace. When? After you've been thankful. It's all right there for our eyes. And we can't figure it out. It's crazy. Which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Right? Fix your eyes on that stuff. Don't fix your eyes on the crud. Fix your eyes on this. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. He was a living example. We are meant to be living examples to a dark world. through that world. Put it into practice. It's great to hear it on Sundays. It's wonderful. Woo-hoo! But when we're out there, are we going woo-hoo? Or are we just going back to the way we live? Then the God of peace will be with you. Then, the most important word right there in that whole sentence is then. If we don't pick up on that, we don't realize that we have to do something prior. We have to fix our eyes on the good stuff. First Corinthians 1:4. And this is a guy who was tortured, beaten, and all that stuff that we read about. I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gift he has given you. Now that you belong to Christ Jesus. So he's thanking them personally. He thanks God for them. I thank God for all of you. That's what I think. I thank God for you guys. You guys are doing beautiful things. Could we be doing more? Yes. Are we doing good stuff? Yes. But he's always being thankful to God. He's not thanking Reggie. He's thanking God for Reggie. He's not thanking Sylvia. He's thanking God for Sylvia. See the difference? One's boosting a person up. The other's boosting God up for that person. There's a difference. That's a shift in mindset. It's not natural. Not natural to me. Colossians 3:14. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. One body, collectively, living in peace. And always be thankful. And always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Fill your lives. Not just part of your life, but fill it. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. All the wisdom of us? No. All the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Right? You're in the midst of chaos? Stop and sing or listen to songs that raise up the Lord. And you listen until it changes your attitude. I've had to do that. I've been there. I had to sit there and listen the first song, nothing. The second song, nothing. The third song, nothing. The fifth song, nothing. And by the sixth song, something struck me. And it started to change an attitude. It started to change an attitude. It takes time. We're thick-headed. I was so focused on the problem, I couldn't hear the song. I did the right motion. I wasn't connected. But at least I did the right motion. And eventually God got a hold of me. But it took time. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. We are a representative of the Lord Jesus. Right? We hear it all the time. You're a bunch of hypocrites. We hear that all the time. Right? Because we're not doing a great job representing them sometimes. And it's our job to step up and be a better representative. Giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Thanks. And thanks. So when we are struggling and going through tough times, reach out to others you trust. And pray for a more positive, thankful spirit. You're struggling? I'm struggling? Let's call each other. And not just pray about the problem, but also pray about changing our mindset to have a more thankful spirit. And that might mean pointing out some things to be thankful for. Right? So when people are complaining about the Berlin roads and the Berlin this and the Berlin that, it's up to me to be a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ to say, yeah, but, I mean, those things bother me, but I got a house and I got a family I love and I got a car to get me back and forth to work and I got a job, right? And that might be things that you need to point out to them. Find something positive to point out to them that the Lord has blessed them with. Because we can be blind. We can miss it. And sometimes we need somebody to come alongside of us and say, hey, it's not so bad. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Yes, you lost your pet. And I understand and sympathize with that. And it hurts me to see you in pain. But just think of the time you had with that pet. The blessing of having that pet for the amount of time that you had. Right? It's a changing of a mindset. It's a shift. Write down. Say it out loud. Things that are going right in your life. And focus on that. These actions are not natural to most people. Most of us are very blessed beyond belief in this country. We just miss it. We take it for granted. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of that. I don't have peace when I'm not being thankful. If we could step out ourselves and look at our life, I bet 95% of what we're going through in our lives and then directly affecting us is positive. 95% positive going on in our lives. Even in the midst of chaos for a lot of us. 95% positive. But we have a tendency to let the negative 5% consume us more than the 95%. We're focused on the 5% when we should be focused on the 95%.
No, and a lot of the time it's in our own head.
It's all.
It's even worse than what it is.
It's all in our own head, and we blow it up. We blow it up because the enemy is speaking to us and we're not fending against that. We're not fending against that.
Reggie, I can honestly say that...
Hang on.
I agree with that. And the best part for me is that since Sam passed away, I always start my morning anyway, long before Sam passed away, but my day starts with my devotions in the morning. And after he passed away, that morning I started a new thing. And before I start my devotions, I start with thankfulness.
Yes.
And I thank the Lord for bringing me to where I am so that I would have peace for the day and so on and so forth. And after I've been most thankful, then I go to my devotions and then I finish up with my prayer requests.
Mm.
And I have found that my days have been more peaceful and more blessed, and I highly recommend it. It's helped me.
So Laura notices that she has better days by doing that. Is that a coincidence? Is that a coincidence? God is always preparing us. I found that out. He's always, always preparing us. He's telling us ahead to be ready so that we don't get caught off guard, right? So this message is really a message of preparation. This is the time to start practicing. This is the time to start practicing. And again, he's telling us ahead of time, start being honest. Evaluate where you are in your life journey. And encouraging us to start making changes. Pray for revelation. Pray for conviction when we fall. Pray for continual process of transformation in our minds into the people He wants us to be. He wants us to be. And He's trying to do that so we are prepared as a church, as an individual, because things are coming. And it doesn't matter. I'm not talking about like end time stuff. I'm just saying things are coming in everybody's life. We're all going to face battles. And as you get older, and there's a few older people in here, you know those battles aren't easy. They're not easy.
Hey, Roger. As long as you give them to God, it is easy.
Right. It can be easy. It can be easy. I wouldn't say easy. It can be easier. It can be easier. It is. He's not trying to say he's going to take. Again, he doesn't remove the stuff we face. What he does is he gives us stuff to make up for, to battle, right? Let's thrive and not survive, right? Not just survive. Let's be a light in a dark situation. Everybody talks about the light. How do you be a light? How do you be a light? You gotta show your light. You gotta let God shine through you. Thank you, Joker. Yes. Let's battle by being faithful to God in all circumstances. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. Right, John? But let God transform you into a new person by changing what? The way we think. He isn't going to just change us. He's going to change the way we think. Then, there's that magical word, then you will learn to know God's will for you. Everybody said, I don't know what God's will is for me. It says right here. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then, so if you haven't done that, you're not going to know God's will for you. Which is good and pleasing and perfect. Good, pleasing, and perfect. So next time the enemy tries to attack your mind and wants you to focus on the problem and the problems you face, stop! Say out loud. Say it in your mind. Write it down. All the good things going on in your life right now. And then at the end, you say thank you to the Lord for those 95% good things. Let's see what can happen when we turn our minds to thanksgiving instead of complaining. This message is not a message about changing just our mindset during those tough times only. It's with everything. with everything, good times, bad times, knowing and appreciating what we've got. You read the voice of the martyrs and you realize, man, we got it made. There is nothing that we face in this in the United States of America right now. There is nothing that we face compared to what those people face. And you know what they're doing? They're praising the Lord. Wow. No one wants to suffer. And I don't want to suffer, that's for sure. But a message about changing our mindset during those tough times. So we persevere through these battles in the best possible manner until the situation changes. That's what I find most of the time. Is that it's just a matter of time before the situation changes. We just want it to change now. When I'm hurting, when I'm at work and my elbow's killing me and I'm rubbing on somebody's shoulder and it's killing me, I want it gone then. I don't want it gone 3 weeks from now. I want it gone now. But that makes you change your mindset. I can do a lot. I can even work through the pain. That's amazing. And I'm going to do that in the best possible manner I can. Not because I can do it, because He can do it through me. Let's not focus on what we don't have, what we have lost, what is wrong, but focus on the blessings we do have, what we have found, and what is right and good. Even in the worst circumstances, believers, we can be thankful that we have an eternity of no more pain, no more suffering, and being with our Creator in the end. No matter what we face. That is the truth. That is going to happen if you believe it. So when things look bleak, let's focus on that. Right? Dear Lord, we just thank you today. We just thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you that you're preparing us. You're preparing us. You're opening our eyes. You're challenging us. And challenging is tough. And sometimes I fight against those challenges, and I don't want to be fighting against those challenges. I want to be accepting those challenges. I want the people in here accepting those challenges. I want us to change our mindset and be the light that you made us to be. I don't want to be a little flicker. I want to be an LED light in a car that's facing me. I want to be strong like that. I want to be one like, they got their high beams on, and they don't. They have a regular light on, and I think it's a high beam. I want to be a light like that. That's the truth. It's funny, but it's true. It's true. I just love you and thank you. I thank you and I ask a blessing on each person in here. We're facing our battles, but help us change our mindset of how we face these battles. We're doing a good job. Let's do a great job. Let's be better. Hold on tight. Protect us. Because when we bring a message like this, there's an attack. You're going to be challenged today, tomorrow, this week, I don't know. We're going to be challenged. And help us to rise up again for that challenge. Let us battle. Battle with Thanksgiving.
Well, we went to a women's retreat at Shiloh.